Welcome back to Tivating Patiently, the appreciation podcast that highlights, dives deeper, and celebrates the work and accomplishments of our Tony-winning national treasure, Aaron Tveit. I'm Elizabeth, and let's just recap what ended up being a big week last week for Aaron and Tveit Nation. First off, Aaron released a statement to People magazine sharing that he and Erica had welcomed a baby girl back in November. And I know I can speak for many of us in saying that we are so, so happy for both of them. And it's so special to think of Aaron as a girl dad now. And we'll get into that more in a little bit. And then after that, he performed his concert at Groton Hill Music Center in Massachusetts. And then this past Sunday, episodes 4 and 5 of the series Earth Abides were released, and audiences finally got to meet Aaron's character, Charlie. And this week basically had all the different versions of Aaron wrapped up into one special week. On Friday, December 20th, Aaron performed his concert at Groton Hill, and this concert was initially supposed to be in July. But as we know, we got Christian 6.0 instead. And honestly, it was this concert being rescheduled that like solidified all the rumors that he was going back into Moulin Rouge for me. Because why else would this concert have been rescheduled? Like, he's not one to do that. Those rumors of Christian had been swirling and swirling and swirling for, you know, a few weeks at this point. And then they reschedule this and it's like, okay, here we go. When's the announcement? But Aaron, he actually addressed this rescheduling early on in the night at his concert in a very funny way.
So as I mentioned, last year, I couldn't be here in July. This year, in July, I couldn't be here because they raised the Christian bat signal and I had to go to the Hirschfelds.
What is the Christian bat signal?
I don't know. Actually, I didn't really think that went through. It just came out.
We're very spontaneous.
Actually, it's probably just like a version of my hair. Because somehow every time I do the show, I just have a totally different hairstyle. I think that's become like my little secret thing. I'm like, I want to see how much I can get away with it. But yeah, just let me try it. Maybe next time I'm just a buzz cut, which would be great.
Can we just all agree that a buzz cut is a hair era that we hope doesn't get revisited? Like, I mean, it's Aaron. He can pull off any hairstyle he wants, but him with longer hair showing off the curls and the waves, those eras tend to be the fan favorites. But like, just, it's so funny that I love him and Brian together, because like Aaron was just going to end the story of they raised the Christian bat signal and like, there it is, that's it. And Brian just pulls more out of him. And it's so funny, like just on the spot, Aaron thinking of that and knowing like the fuss that is always made about his hair and knowing and recognizing that every run is something different. And I love that he said that it's like his thing that he tries to get away with, just to kind of see how much are they going to let him do. But I mean, he's the OG. He can do whatever he wants. Aaron structured this concert as he always does, where he seamlessly intertwines his stories with the songs that he performs. And he also mixed in some Christmas songs, which I suppose that ended up being another silver lining to this concert being rescheduled from July, is that we got to have Christian 6.0 this summer, and then got the gift of Aaron performing Christmas songs just 5 days before Christmas. And as I was listening to and watching videos that were shared from this concert, Aaron seemed to share more personal stories than usual. I was talking with a friend and we were saying how usually Aaron mentions his parents to preface Fight the Dragons when that's on the set list, and we have heard him talk about his grandmother when he performs Being Alive. But at Groton, he talked about Erica being his fiance. We haven't heard him say that publicly. He mentioned their baby girl a few times. He talked about what his family traditions were like growing up with his mom, dad, and his brother and extended family like grandparents. And this concert is what I think encouraged the baby announcement to be released to People magazine this past week. This way it was out there before the concert and he could openly talk about it. And speaking of talking about it, Aaron shared how he was playing Sweeney Todd when he and Erica found out that they were expecting and how he felt after finding out that they were having a baby girl.
I had the extreme fortune and, frankly, surprise of my life to get to play Sweeney Todd. Not to put you on the spot. The first time you heard it, what did you think?
What do you mean, you sing?
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Oh, thank you.
I feel like everybody likes you a little angry and you know.
Yeah. I've got a confession to make. I like myself angry and dirty, too.
That's right. Angry and dirty.
Thank you,
Mike.
Thank you. Yeah. You know, it's funny, my first Broadway show was Hairspray, right? And great show, awesome show. I did that show for a year on tour, and then 6 months in New York, right through, about 18 months. And I tell you, smiling that big for the first, 25 minutes of that show was the most exhausting thing. So not having to, smile one time in every hour musical was the greatest. I got to work with the amazing Sutton Foster. Special experience and special time, and we were just talking earlier about energy in the world, and you know, at the time I found out my fiance was pregnant while I was doing that show, and you know, we wanted to know what the baby was, and I'd only ever imagined having a boy, and then we found out that we were having a girl, and I just thought, I just really believe in energy in a pretty young world. I spent seven shows a week just singing about my daughter and getting my daughter back. And so how was there ever a world where it was going to be anything other than that? So that show really, I think, also prepared me mentally, which is very strange to say.
It's so funny to me that he said that the role of Sweeney prepared him mentally for having a daughter. But, I mean, also, how he just puts it, he has such a way with words. And I love him talking about energy and, that connection where he sings to Joanna as Sweeney and he turned it to be that he was, singing to his daughter and seeing his daughter, He's just incredible, and I just love that story. It's definitely moved up. It's on the list of favorites now, for sure. Favorite stories from concerts. And I think one of the biggest highlights from this concert was Aaron's Wicked mashup of Dancing Through Life and The Wizard and I. It's so fitting that he brought this mashup back with the release of the movie, and he talked about movie musicals and how he thinks they're the greatest thing ever, and it's so timely that he brought it back. But seriously, his ability to slip right back into his Fiero persona and into the choreography for Dancing Through Life is incredible to watch. And then The Wizard and I, just like with Les Mis, he could do a one-man show of Wicked because he portrays every character so well. And after he finished the mashup, the audience was applauding and held that applause for a while, and he looked down and then he looked out to the audience with this face almost I can't believe I just did that. It's like he was so deep in the Fiero and then Alphaba roles that he came back out of it and was like, oh my god. However, while I loved seeing the Wicked choreography again, my favorite song that Aaron performed at Groton was A Million Dreams from The Greatest Showman. I have loved that song since I first heard it in the movie, and Aaron performed that song before in 2023 at a concert honoring Benji Pasek and Justin Paul, and hearing him sing it again, it took my breath away for a second. I was, staying up way too late the night of the concert, looking for clips, and I came across a short clip of the song, and it was really an audible gasp of oh my god, he sang this, because at that point, we didn't know the full set list. and his cover was then just on repeat most of the next day. And now, Aaron, he's going to be heading out to California to kick off 2025 with another concert in Palm Springs on January 4th. And he will most likely be with a band for that. I saw something from the theater highlighting his drummer, Jared, so like for the same date. So it seems like they'll be together. And I'm sure there will continue to be a lot of anticipation to see what he may perform at that concert. But okay, speaking of energies like Aaron did, let's shift the energy, shift gears to Earth Abides. And I'm going to try to not get into anything too specific because I know there's many who have not watched the series yet. And if that is you, maybe just don't listen to this next part of the episode, but come back to it after you've watched. So I did MGM Plus for like the free trial. My plan was just to binge all the episodes. And the series, like hearing the description of it, it wasn't something that I would, if Aaron wasn't in it, something that I would seek out. But I pressed play on the first episode and I watched it and I was just going to watch one, but, you know, ended up staying up too late and watching all three in one night and then needed to stay up even later to watch something lighter to lighten the mood. But it's a good show. Like, it held my attention. It's interesting to see Ish and Emma and what they built and what they were able to do. And Aaron, in all of his interviews, he just has so accurately described like the hope of the series and where it's coming from with humanity. And if we could start over again, like what would that look like? And that's what this series is. But episode 4 is where we meet Charlie, is where we meet his character. And episode 4 was called Predators. And episode 5 was called The Return. And my first thought in seeing Aaron's character, Charlie, is that Aaron described him perfectly in every press interview that he was a part of. Charlie, right from the start, he came in, like he got off the bus. He was so very charming. He was ready to offer Ish a peace offering with water, which is what Ish and his little community was desperately starting to need. He then charmed himself into their gated community by telling Ish that he would love to introduce the rest of his group that he was traveling with over a meal because he said the group was so tired from traveling so much. And he also showed Ish that he had drilling equipment, which they could use to drill for a well for water. And water was the thing that Ish really needed. And so they, in a way, kind of made a deal for a trade that Charlie would help them drill for water, and Ish and his community would give them gasoline to head out as soon as the water was found, that they would get the gas and Charlie and his group would go. And hearing about the water is also what really piqued Emma's interest in letting them come in. Emma was also enjoying having new people around because they really had their established community. And it had been a long time since they had seen anyone new. Ish, on the other hand, he was not as enthusiastic and ready to welcome in outsiders. And it's almost right away that his spidey senses were going off around Charlie. Like, he didn't get the good vibe. And he tries to express that to Emma, and she doesn't agree with him. She's like, you never trust anybody. Like, we have new people here. It's going to be okay. And then during another dinner with the whole group, they're just sitting around chatting, and Charlie locks eyes and stares down Evie. And Evie is a young girl that joined the group as an orphan, like an orphan child, and due to past trauma and abuse, she doesn't speak. But Charlie, like, seeing it, like, seeing him, like, completely shift his focus, and you see his eyes just zero in and lock in on her, was just like, oh my God. That was the moment that was like, whoa. But Charlie, he sets his sight on her and it's super creepy. And his girlfriend, like his partner sitting next to him, like sees it, as do Ish and Emma. And she kind of like grabs his arm and that takes him out of it. But it was still like, what the hell? And Ish again brings that to Emma's attention and she's still like, no, it's fine. But eventually Charlie does what he said they were going to do. They drilled and they got the water. And once that happened, Ish goes up to him and is like, look, like, here, take all the gas that you want. Thank you so much for the water. But you can take the gas and you can go, like we shook on. And Charlie's like, I don't remember shaking on it. And I like it here. And kind of left it at that, like he was going to stay. And meanwhile, Ish is watching, like, his whole community that he and Emma worked so hard to foster and build, like, a community of love and trust and friendship. These people are starting to almost idolize Charlie because of his, you know, that charming demeanor, and he just got them the water that they so desperately needed. So he's, like, winning in their eyes. He's the greatest thing, and Ish's kids think he's so great, and all of that is just pushing Ish over the edge by the end of episode 4. Like, he even ends it, like, he comes in narrating at the end, and he's like, I could just see it all going away. And that leads us into episode 5, which, that Charlie's character, his storyline is wrapped up in the first, like, 12 minutes of the show, pretty much, because it kicks off with Charlie doing an unspeakable act with Evie, and Ish sees him, and then Ish and his community, his group, realize that there's only one way to get rid of a predator in this situation, because there's no other way. So they come together and unanimously make a decision, and in the end, Charlie meets his demise. So yeah. So now, like, Ish and his group are upset in that they've crossed a new line that they never wanted to cross, but they also believe that they had no other option. And they do end up taking in a lot of Charlie's tribe that were, you know, under Charlie's spell and were abused and manipulated by Charlie as well. His tribe sees that Ish and Emma are safe. So they opt to stay. So, I mean, just like thinking, we've seen Aaron do dark. He says he likes to go dark, but this was like such a realistic, disgusting dark that's like, okay, like bring back the darkness of Sweeney, where, you know, you're singing Little Priest with pies and singing to your corpses in Joanna. This was a lot, and yeah, it was a lot. But I'm glad like to see him in this role. I know it's something that meant a lot to him. It's something that he shared that he jumped right into right after finishing his run with Sweeney Todd. So he like wrapped up Sweeney, flew to Vancouver, filmed his episodes and his scenes. And then he flew back and he dove right into 3 weeks at Cafe Carlisle. So, like, he had an extremely busy stretch between May and June. He's superhuman. And then he went right into Christian. So, like, he's unbelievable. So I hope, you know, he soaks up all of the newborn snuggles and all of the new dad life. And he just sits quietly for a bit and takes a breather after his Palm Springs concert. Because he deserves it. And he and Erica deserve to just stay in that blissful, exhausting newborn bubble for as long as they possibly can. But thank you so much for listening today and continuing to support this podcast. And if you're not doing so already, please follow along on Instagram at tivating_patiently and over on TikTok at tivatingpatiently. And hope to have you back here in 2025 for episode 109.